Good morning, and you're all very welcome here on this Easter morning. Happy Resurrection Day. He is risen. He is risen indeed. What are you thankful for on this Easter Sunday morning? I am thankful for family, friends, and this church. I am thankful for good health and able to do the hiking that I love to do. I am thankful for my godly heritage, for my parents and grandparents that were followers of Christ and made sure that my brother and I understood what it meant to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Over and above all of these things, I am thankful for Jesus and his sacrificial love as he went to the cross for me and my sin. He offered the free gift of eternal life, and all I had to do was to accept it. I am thankful for his death, burial, and resurrection so that I might have eternal life with him. Peter understood the meaning of Jesus' resurrection, maybe better than anyone else. His personal experience traveling with Jesus for 3 years, his doubts and fears, the times he spoke before he thought, his bold claims and his denials of Jesus, his failure and his redemption. All of these things meant that he was thankful for the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And it is because of his personal experience with Jesus that he could write these two letters with confidence to encourage the churches. He was thankful for Jesus, and he rejoiced in his relationship with Jesus. And as we read these few verses from 1 Peter, we will look at how Peter rejoiced in the resurrection, rejoiced during his time of testing, and rejoiced in God's salvation plan that leads to eternal life. So we will be reading 1 Peter chapter 1, looking at verses 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. My great-grandfather was a coal miner in the hills of West Virginia. I don't know if he worked within the mines, but I do know that he drove trucks full of coal. His truck would be loaded and he would be driven to, he would drive to wherever delivering coal. And then that picture, that's my grandfather in the lower left and grandmother, and then my great-grandfather in the lower left, my grandfather behind him, and my aunt and my great-grandmother. So I'm talking about my great-grandfather there. He was a coal miner. He was poor. He was married and raised the two kids there, his son, my grandfather, and a daughter. The second son died when he was 3. They lived in the town owned by the coal mine. They rented a house from the coal mine. They bought groceries from the store owned by the coal mine. It was a hard life. He became a Christian when he was in his 30s, and his wife taught him to read when he was 40. through the using the Bible. He retired from the coal mines and he became a preacher. He really never talked about the past. Why? Because it meant nothing to him. That was his time before he became a follower of Christ. Once he became a Christian and was reading the Bible and learning about God's love for him, that was all that mattered. I remember visiting his little house in the hills of southern Ohio. He pastored a little country church. And I can see his Bible on the table next to his chair with his reading glasses on the Bible. A few years later, as he was dying from lung cancer from exposure to the coal, he was living with my grandparents, his son. And my grandpa was also a preacher. And that same Bible was always on the table next to my great-grandfather's bed. It meant as much to him then as it did 40 years earlier. Probably more so, because he said his love for Jesus grew more and more each day. As you read Peter's letters, you see that same enthusiasm. And Peter knew his past. He knew he was a sinner saved by the grace of God. He had no desire to dwell on his past, but to remember and rejoice in what Jesus did for him. He can't help but give thanks to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is emphatic. There is nothing greater to give thanks than the love of God who gave us his only Son so that we might be saved. That plan of salvation is the great mercy that Peter mentions. What is this great mercy? Well, the Greek word is hesed, which is translated as loving kindness or love or mercy. It is an intense word that encompasses all that God feels for us, and it is out of that hesed, out of that loving kindness, that God does three things for us through Jesus. First, he brings us to new birth, being born again. We are dead to our past and we're brought to new life through Jesus Christ. Just as my great-grandfather experienced new life in Christ and desired to live for Jesus, so did Peter remind his readers that this is what we have in Christ. New birth. New life. Our old life is gone and we now live for Christ. As we walk through the national park each Tuesday, we see the signs of new life, as if the trees and wildflowers are being born again. We see the lambs in the field and we are reminded of new life. And through the precious blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, we have new life when we accept him and follow him. And second, God's great love and mercy causes us to experience a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus, we have a hope in the living future, not the dead past. No need to dwell on that past. The past is dead and gone. The future is alive and eternal. Now there is a song that we sing about the hope that we have in Christ. The first verse says, "There is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day. A glimpse of glory now revealed in meager part, yet drives all doubt away. I stand in Christ with sins forgiven, and Christ in me the hope of heaven. My highest calling and my deepest joy, to make his will my home." It is that hope that we place our trust in, looking forward to that day when we are not in this troubled world anymore, and we are with Jesus in eternity. And that leads us to the third product of God's love, an inheritance kept in heaven for us, kept by God. You know, my great-grandfather, he did not have much. I had an old blanket of his. I kept that for many years. It was all that I had of his. Eventually, that old blanket had to be thrown out because it was worn out. I have a few things of my grandparents, things that will fade, fall apart, and when I die, just get binned because no one will know what to do with it. I have a few things of my parents. Those things will fade away. Best things I have are my memories, but those will die with me. What I have in Christ, the hope that I have, is an eternal inheritance. No moth will get to it. Rust will not eat it away. My hope in Christ is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And what do those words mean? Well, imperishable means it will not rot or decay. It's incorruptible. Nothing can happen to it. And undefiled means that it's pure, morally and religiously pure. Nothing can stain it. And unfading is, it just never ages. Unlike flowers that wither and have to be tossed out, this is eternal. Will never wither, never age. Unchanging. So this is a new birth and a living hope and an inheritance that will never expire and is kept safe by God. And what is this hope? It is salvation through Jesus Christ. And in this we can rejoice. Now how many times have you thought, if only I can get through this week, then life will be better. If only I can get past a certain point in time, then after that, whatever it is, life will be better. Well, Peter says here in verse 6, in this you rejoice. And what is this that we're rejoicing? It's that future hope that we have in Christ. We can rejoice in this, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved. You have been tested. Okay, so now you're thinking, wait, I don't want to be tested. I want to go to be with Jesus. I want the hope now. Well, don't we all want that? But guess what? We are here and living in the now, dealing with the present, and rejoicing in the future hope that we have. But while we are here, we must persevere. We will all deal with suffering by varying degrees while we are here on earth. Why? Because of sin. Since the first sin in the Garden of Eden, mankind has dealt with suffering. Suffering was not to be part of life. Suffering was not part of the creation plan. Suffering followed after sin was introduced into the world. Because of that sin, suffering was a byproduct of sin. It's something that we must deal with on a daily basis. Abraham was tested and he was found faithful. Israel was tested many times and failed that test many times. Jesus was tested in the desert by Satan and triumphed. Jesus was tested throughout his earthly ministry and triumphed. He was tested on the cross and Satan thought he had won. The world thought that they had won. But the cross was the plan all along. And Jesus triumphed over the cross and the grave, bringing us the salvation that we need. And in this, we rejoice. You know, Paul wrote in Philippians 3, 8-11, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. It is through this genuineness of our faith that we can rejoice. Yes, we will be tested, as silver and gold are tested by fire, and our faith will result in praise and glory in honor of Jesus Christ. Through our weakness and the testing of our faith, by the grace of God, we can rejoice in our salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, we've been studying Hebrews on Wednesday nights, and the last 2 weeks we have looked at chapter 11, the great chapter on faith. Everyone mentioned in that chapter, from pre-flood times to Abraham and the patriarchs, to Moses, the judges, and prophets, all were looking forward to something and someone that they did not know and had not seen. They were counted as righteous because of their faith. And as it says in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. We have something in common with them: faith. They had faith in things hoped for. We have faith in a living hope. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Our joy in Christ, even though we have not seen him face to face yet, is unexplainable. When I think about what Christ has done for me, a sinner and not worthy of such grace, yet he did it for me because he loves me. And for that, I cannot explain my joy. The joy is just there, and I cannot wait for the day when I am with him. We discussed that Wednesday night, the desire to be with Jesus now, yet having to live in the world now. There's a tension there, a struggle maybe even. And Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, describes and explains that, explains it nicely. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This goes well with Peter's letter. What was the joy that was before Jesus? Not only returning to heaven, but bringing many sons and daughters with him. He went to the cross for us. He endured the cross, the shame, for us. He conquered the grave and he rose again for us. For everyone who will believe in him as their Savior and Lord, he did that for each one, and he did it joyfully. We can share in that joy, and it is a greater joy for us because the alternative for us was eternal separation from God. We rejoice in our salvation. Now, the last verse to the song, There is a Hope, that I had mentioned earlier, says, there is a hope that stands the test of time, that lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning grave, to see the matchless beauty of a day divine when I behold his face. When sufferings cease and sorrows die, and every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home. I pray that everyone here this morning is rejoicing in that living hope that only comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we think and rejoice in that hope, let's go to the Lord's table and share the communion together, and then we will close with the song, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let's pray.